I'm going to teach you a little math today. 1 and 1 makes 2, correct? 5 plus 2 equals?
7.
You think? I might teach you something else about that. I'm going to talk a little bit about math, and I'll come back to the 5 plus 2. You'll see. Let's talk a little bit about math. The worldly math is 1 and 1 is 2, 5 plus 2 equals 7, so it goes on. But there's a different kind of math that we often do as well, and that's the math called, how do I write the formula for living a life of significance? What is the formula for living a life of significance for God, for the world, for my loved ones? I'm going to give you 2 that we often see in the world. The first one sounds like this. My job plus my income plus my resume equals a life of significance. And many of us have fallen into that trap. That's what we run for. I think it's called the rat race formula. There's a second one that goes kind of hand in hand with that that we often use as well. It sounds like this. More plus more plus more. And then after the brackets, you can add whatever you want. More power, more stuff, more things, more of the world equals success. Here's the problem with these formulations. I think it's got the math backwards, because if this was really true and it worked as easy as that, why do we still walk around our little Cambridge, not so little anymore, and there are so many lonely people, so many hurting people, so many struggling people? Maybe because the formula starts wrong. The formula is all about me, mine, my, I, and stuff. So let's turn it upside down and ask the question, so what is the formula? How do we live a life of significance? And we're going to ask Jesus to answer the question. I'm going to take you to a really well-known passage in the Bible, John chapter 6. Now, you can go read this in Matthew chapter 14, Luke chapter 9, and you can also Mark chapter 6. You can go read this as well. They give us a little more information, and I'm going to use that in a second. So Jesus was talking to the people, healing people, and then it says, sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias, also called the Sea of Gennesaret. A great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he'd performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with the disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. So Philip answers, "It would take more than a half year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Well, here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But," and there's a but, "how far will they go among so many?" Jesus says, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place. They sat down. About 5,000 men were there. So take men, multiply by 2 with women, and then add kids. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. Did the same with the fish. When they'd all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. How do we live a life of significance? So, if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, you'll see what happened before this. Jesus was really working hard. He says to the disciples in Matthew, let's take a break. Let's just go recharge the batteries for a moment. So they get in the boat and they go to, and Luke tells us this in chapter 9, they go to a place called Bethsaida. Bethsaida in their language means house of fish. It's right there where they fish. So they go to Bethsaida to take a break, to just replenish their own souls, just to breathe a little bit again. As soon as they get there, of course people had heard about Jesus. Now, if you've been to Israel, you know too, Sea of Galilee is not that big. From where they were to Bethsaida would be easy to walk around and kind of get there at the same time as the boat. That's fine. That's fine. To get there at the same time as the boat. So as soon as they get out there, they just go up the mountain, they look down, and here's this crowd of people coming again. So go read the other Gospels. The disciples say to Jesus, can you just get rid of them? We need a break. You need a break. You said that yourself. Can we just take a little me time, us time, so that we can just breathe a moment, let them go? And Jesus says, 1 and 1 equals, let them sit down. And then there's the question to Philip. Why Philip? It was Philip's hometown. He grew up in Bethsaida. So he would know where the Zares would be and the Freshco and the Sobeys. He'd know where they can go and get this, right? So Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? In your Bible, underline that. Or on your phone, or your tablet, just go highlight that. That's the key to understand not just John chapter 6, that's the key to understand how to live a life of significance. Where shall we buy bread for these people? 3 things I want you to notice from this question. Number 1, where shall we buy bread for these people? It's an others first question. Lord, send them away. It's our time. We need this. Mm-mm. Sit them down. We need to take care of them, of the others. Where did we start? My job, my income, my reputation, mine. What does Jesus do? He flips it. He says, not me. Theirs. And we say, but hold on. Does that mean I don't care for my family? Does that mean I don't care for myself? Does that mean? Not what I'm saying. It's not what Jesus is saying. He was the one who said, let's take a break. He's the one who would often go up on the mountain and say, you go, I just need to be with my Father so that I can pray. He is not saying, don't take care of yourself. He is not saying, don't take care of your family. But he is not saying, that's all you do. He's also saying, and then when God has blessed you with all the amazing things that you have, now it's time for you to bless others. That's a life that fulfills. Not just me, I. Narcissists are good at that. But they don't get far. Others, how do I bless? How do I give? How do I care? Let me give you an example of, and I want to lift you up this morning, Central, because of who you are and how I adore you for who you are. There's a small team in this church called Central Cares. Central Cares is there for others. That's what they do. They're oriented towards others. When folks are sick and in need, we don't even know it. They take care. They don't all go say, hey, Aubrey, there's 10 people that need. They just do the work and take care. Best example, when my wife broke her ankle, She couldn't work. She was there the whole day. I had to work. Alrie had to work. Alrie gets home late at night. So all of a sudden, a lot of that stuff is on me. And I have to run around and I have to make food. And all of a sudden, it's just knocking on the door. Day after day after day, Linda Brown drives from the other side of Kitchener to my house to bring me food. Where shall we buy bread for these people? So maybe the question I need to ask is, in my formula, Lord, for living a life of significance, how do I give of myself to others? And this is an invitation. You know me. I'm not this kind of guy. I hate even doing that. This is an invitation for each of us to look and say, how am I living my life? Is it really just centered about my little thing? Is that really significant? How do I care and give and love and share all the greatness that God has given? Which leads right into the second part of that question. I want you to see that it's a a non-religious question. Let me explain this. Where shall we buy bread for these people? Do you see what Jesus does? He doesn't say, hey guys, let's organize a prayer meeting. Hey guys, let's get them to the synagogue and see if we can connect them there. Hey guys, let's organize a few small groups here and put them in the small groups. He says, set them down and give them bread. It's not a religious thing. It's a God thing. Providing, giving. The disciples say, read Matthew, Mark, Luke this afternoon. The disciples say, send them to the towns. They can go buy. Jesus says, no. We can give bread. I'm not just going to say a little blessing and say, God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Go. There's a need, and their need is food. They're tired. They came. Let's give them something to eat. And can I lift you up again, Central? Thank you, because that's exactly what you do. You've been doing that for a long time. I've been here 21 years, and I've seen you do this. Do you want the best example? Let me give you one of the best. We spoke about going the extra mile for Rachel's home this morning, our AIDS orphanage that we've been running for nearly 15 years in a little place called Lesotho. Do you know that there are folks in this church who are sponsoring students who are going to university now, that were little AIDS orphans that didn't have a mother and father, came there, went to school, and are now going to university and coming back and plowing back into their community to change lives, and you are sponsoring them? If you want to, talk to me or Elsie. We can organize that for you if you want to do that. But there are some of you who are doing that. We are doing the walk again this year as we do every year for them. Do you know what that does, what that money does? Those little kids have nothing if they don't have that orphanage. That buys food for them. They drive across the border to the other side in South Africa where the food is waiting for them in a supermarket. We've paid for that. They pick it up. They take it home and those kids can eat. They stop at the pharmacy where we've already purchased the nutrients that the vitamins that they need, takes across the border so those kids can have strong little bodies and grow. But it goes further than it's starting with a few little AIDS orphans. We built a school, this church. We went a second time, built the ablution blocks so they can wash at least under warm water. You know what happened with the school? The school is now serving the community where the kids had no education. And kids are getting education, Christian education, because it's all Christian teachers. And lives are being changed because we answered a non-spiritual question and we gave bread. And lives are changed. Kids go to school, go to university, come back and bless. Thank God for you. For hearing the bread question. every year during the summer, we have this fun thing going. There's always a sign up there, and we're collecting. This year was fruit, and then was beans, and it was baby formula. We collect that, and I am pushing you, and everyone is having fun, and we set a goal of 5,000 and 6,000 and 8,000, and we just go, go. Why do we do that? Because the food bank is one of our projects in this community where we are connected. People really need food. And in this time, even more in this world that we're living right now. And we do our little bit. We ask, what do you need most this year? And they'll say, that's what we need. And we're blessed. And we can give. And you do. You've even caused me to wear green hair because you did so well. Right? That's the question that Jesus asked. How do we live a life of significance? How are we significant? Just sitting here and just listening and going home? But you don't. You get connected. And you answer the question. Brother James said it beautifully, right? He said, how can you talk about faith if I don't see it in your works? He says, I'll show you. So your brother, sister says, I'm hungry and I'm cold. And you say, bless you in the name of the Lord. Go and be warm and go and be fed. How did you serve them? He says, I'll show you my faith through my works. And then you show me how your faith looks like when it has no works. Jesus says, where shall we buy bread? Thank you for buying bread. For being so amazing. There's a third little thing, and then I'm done. It's also a cost me something question. Where shall we buy bread for these people? Where shall we buy bread? Don't send them away. It's going to cost me something. To follow Jesus means to count the cost. Philip, so where should we buy bread for these people? Did you see what Philip answered? He says, oh Lord, it's going to take a whole year's wages to eat, but give each of them just a little morsel. Did you see how he answers the question? There's a positive and then the other part of that. He doesn't say we don't have the ability. He doesn't say there's too many of them. He's saying it's going to cost us too much. It's going to be too costly. Well, here's the thing. You want to live a life of significance? It's going to cost you something. Luke 14. You want to be my disciples, said Jesus? Yeah. Okay, hold on. You cannot be my disciples unless you turn your back on your father and your mother and your brother and your sister and your wife and your children and even on your own life. Take your cross and put your feet in my footsteps and walk with me. And you know where his footsteps went. They were not that easy. Going to cost you something. G.K. Chesterton, he does the Father Brown thingamajigs. He wrote those on TV. G.K. Chesterton, he said this. He says, the Christian life has never been tried and found wanting. It's often been tried, found difficult, and left wanting. Because it costs. I need to give. So Andrew puts up his hand. He says, let me tell you, Lord, we found a little guy, but this is not going to work in any case. He's got 5 little barley loaves and 2 fish. Do we do that? 5 plus 2 equals 7, right? There's more than 10,000 people. 5 plus 2 equals 10,000 can never work. Jesus says, that's cool. We got 5 loaves, we got 2 fish, let's pray. He prays and he says, now let's eat. And they all eat. 5 plus 2 equals 7, you said? You can't do math. But look at the beautiful piece at the end. He reminds us of something. After they'd all eaten their fill, he said, let's not waste the bread. How many baskets did they fill? 12. How many disciples? 12. What's he saying to them? You think this is all you have? And if you give up the little bit you have, you ain't gonna have anything left. There's a whole basket full. Take it home. More than enough for you to eat too. See what he's saying to us? Lord, but I don't think I have much. What about me? What about? I'll take care of you. Because here's the math. 5 plus 2 plus Jesus equals more than enough. That sound like better math? What I have plus Jesus and what I'm prepared to give equals more than enough. All he asks is for me to say, like that little dude, I have 5 loaves and 2 fish. You want them? And he'll take them, and he will multiply them. That's how you live a life of significance. There's the formula. Others, physical, and Lord, whatever I have, it's yours, and you do with it. And when you say, you can have it, boy, does God have fun. May God bless you in abundance on this day of Thanksgiving. Oh, give him thanks for all the gifts that he has given, because that's his blessing to you, to me, each one of us. Amen. Let's pray. Oh Lord, you're so good. It just overflows. Our one song said this morning, all my life, you have been faithful. And Lord, your goodness, it keeps running after me. And David said that. Surely the goodness and the love of the Lord will follow me like the sheep. I can't run away from it. And we try and we can't. Thank you. Thank you for how you care for us. And we, Lord, can just stand before you and say, you're amazing. And we love you. But we also want to say, Lord, if you want to show us where we can do what you ask in one little verse, please show us. Help us to continue to do what we are trying to do in our own small way. Thank you that the blessing is not because it's me, mine, ours, because lives are touched and you are glorified. How amazing are you? Thank you that 5 plus 2 plus Jesus equals more than enough. In your name we pray. Amen.